Go in there and do your work. Mm-hmm. Just do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Keep your grades good. But it's mainly in here. Mm-hmm. Like, don't come in here being a dumbass, a jackass, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's guys in there that'll say some crazy things, do some crazy things. Guys show up late to practice, 2 minutes before practice.
So that last chance you, they wasn't, yeah, they wasn't
stripping that. That's the real stuff, like.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my co-host, as always, Neruda Perdomo. We got a really good episode, but hope you guys all had a good holiday. It's released the day after Christmas, so hope your holiday, Christmas Eve went smooth. Enjoy time with the fam. Ruda, I'm kind of curious what you've been on. We haven't spoke that much since break started, so what you been on since, the break started?
Yeah, man, I got back to New Hampshire on the 16th, right after we played Hobart, and I just was hanging out with my family up there, and I saw some friends, some basketball friends, and linked up with a bunch of different people. That's pretty much it. I was just working out, hanging out with friends, hanging out with family. Now I'm back in New York City with, you know, my brother and extended family's coming through for Christmas dinner tonight on Christmas Eve. So that's pretty much it, dude. Just family time and basketball as always. What about you?
Life has been good. I like being home just because, like, I live near Siena and UAlb, and Section 2 basketball is good, so I've been able to go to, like, some high school games, look at that, and then I also went to 2 Siena games. It was kind of weird because I went to St. Bonaventure versus Siena, and Mike's the assistant coach for St. Bonaventure, so I was kind of torn, who am I rooting for, either Bonnie's or Major. And then a few days later, I went to Holy Cross, coached by Coach Paulson, friend of the podcast, and torn between rooting for Holy Cross and Major again. But Major, I was rooting for you both games. Didn't get the dub, but I was definitely rooting for you. I was sitting near the opposing team sidelines, and they kept looking at me when I would cheer when bro scored. But, I mean, that kind of leads into the episode for today. We got Major Freeman. Major currently playing at Siena in his – we saying it's his third year of college basketball?
I think so, yeah.
So spent 2 years at the JUCO level and now hooping at Siena, where he's having a great year, averaging north of 15 points, shooting a good percentage from three, one of the better players on Siena and in the MAC conference. And this was an in-person episode. So, I mean, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, we appreciate you. But go over to YouTube and go catch us over there so you can see face-to-face interaction, see some of the people we're referencing, their photos. So I definitely advise you to go over and watch on YouTube. But I want to hear what you got to say about this episode and Major in itself.
I think it was a great experience just being able to film in Siena's practice gym. We got to shoot a little bit of 500, a little bit, you know, before or after. I mean, y'all caught me off guard, man. See, I walked in the gym and I got challenged to 500. I didn't even get to stretch. I just started playing, you know, and I lost those games. But as soon as I got to, you know, film the episode, get my legs under me, then it was quiet. But even though Major did, he won most games. But yeah, no, it was a great episode, bro. It was great getting to know Major. He's a good dude, solid dude. He's from ATL. So talking about growing up in ATL and Georgia and, you know, the hoop scene there and just hearing the JUCO grind too, that we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But hearing more about his story was great, and just inspiring for all the athletes, you know what I'm saying? Especially coming from JUCO, it's always possible to make it out. And I mean, he's a really good player for Siena, bro. And he's part of Coach McNamara's first recruiting class, you know, bringing in and changing the culture at Siena and changing the program around for the better, which, you know, they're already, I feel like they're in really great hands with both Major and also Coach McNamara at the helm.
Nah, 100%. I mean, Major is tough. He can score at all three levels. He can, you know, play in the post. We talked about that. He shoots it at a good percentage, mentioned that. And then his pull-up game, I haven't seen it much, you know, at the Division I level, but I've seen his film at the JUCO level. He can shoot at a high clip in the mid-range level. He can do it, and he guards too. So, I mean, he's a three-level scorer. But before we talk more about, you know, his game and what we talked about in the episode, I want the JUCO ruling. I don't even know if they made a name for it yet, but basically that JUCO players remain all 4 years of college basketball after JUCO. It was passed by NCAA, I think, today. So I want to hear your opinions on that. I don't have too strong of opinions just because it's so early and I don't know how it's exactly going to work yet, but I have a few. So I'll let you start if you have any any strong thoughts?
I think, I think with the ruling that came out, it had to do with Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavla. He was trying to come back for another year at Vanderbilt because he's probably, like, he's a really good quarterback, but in the NFL scout eyes, like, he's probably not an NFL quarterback by this point. So he's going to go. He was trying to go back to Vandy, make a little bit more NIL money, which, you know, is helping the athletes now, especially those who don't, you know, make it to the pros. But basically the ruling was, in his specific case, that going to JUCO, you get those 4 years of eligibility because it's not an NCAA institution, right? So it's, I think, just for right now, it's like specifically just Diego's case, but it's making the NCAA and JUCO and college athletics as a whole, it's like making it look, it's making that like transition looked at a little bit differently. And what I mean by that is now you have the opportunity, if like you're a JUCO, if you're a JUCO player, you could go develop for 2 years at the JUCO level and then go to a college basketball program for the next four. And granted, you're going to be really old by the time you graduate, but still, we hear about all these college basketball coaches that want like older players that are more experienced. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, when Kentucky lost to Oakland last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Oakland had a bunch of like older guys and they were playing against a bunch of freshmen that, you know what I'm saying, were inexperienced in college basketball, although highly talented still in that big stage. Right. So now like you have more coaches that it's going to, where they're not going to recruit as many high school athletes. They're just going to, you know, recruit these college guys or college transfers, JUCO transfers. So it's changing. It could, if this continues to be a rule, if it is made a rule throughout NCAA and JUCO, like wide, then it could definitely change college athletics. But as of right now, it's just making people look at that rule a little bit differently. It hasn't really changed anything yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it you brought some good points there, and I just want to bring something up. I got the ESPN alert yesterday saying the NCAA grants waiver to former JUCO players who exhausted eligibility this year. So it's something that's rolling already. And I don't want to sound like this is a bad rule, but I don't like it for the NCAA, if I'm being honest. And this is nothing against, like, I'll always be player first from now until, like, I die. And I think it's really neat for people that went to, like, players like Major, like he said on his story, so I'm a freshman now. And it's like, yeah, good for you. You get to live out four more years of college basketball, improve your stock. Like, I'm all for that. But I think that there's just creating more loopholes in college basketball or college sports in general that isn't necessarily good for, you know, the makeup of college sports. When you talk about transfer portal, NIL, and now this, it's just making it so complicated to understand the rules, who's eligible, who's playing where. And like I said, I'm still for the players, but also high school athletes, you brought that up. Like, why would a college coach recruit an 18-year-old versus a 20-year-old if they're similar talent? It could be neck and neck, and instead of going for the high school athlete, which they might have in the past because they have those 4 years, now it's like, why would I take the chance on a younger kid when I know a little more polished, smarter, maybe stronger? So that's one thing. And then another thing, I think it's going to hurt non-scholarship schools like Division III or, you know, even Division II a little bit, but Division III, because if I'm a college kid or if I'm a high school kid and I think that I should be playing scholarship basketball, I'm never going to go pay to, you know, go to Alfred, which is $40,000 a year to, you know, just play basketball when I could go JUCO and then still have that opportunity to go to Division III. But at that point, like, it doesn't really make much sense. So I think that it's kind of going to hurt, you know, enrollment, schools in college landscape. But I think it's something that's kind of interesting, and it would be interesting to see how it continues to develop over time. I mean, those are my thoughts, and I'm sure I'll have more extended thoughts, you as well. But those are just my initial thoughts, hearing things here and there the past few days. But I want to get back to Major because, I mean, in person, the vibes were high too, bro. It's like, that felt like he was just one of us, like our mans for real. We were shooting and then got right into, you know, the pod, and it seemed like, you know, we got an in-depth look at Major Freeman's life. And I mean, we talked about a lot with Major, what it's like, Coach McNamara, Cuse legend, my guy. To get you on the pod, Coach Mac, if you're listening to this, we're trying to get you on. And then finally, like what the goals are for Major, because, you know, he might have 4 more years of eligibility. We didn't know this at the time, but now he's got some decisions to make. So definitely a great episode. Like I said, if you're listening on any of those platforms, go over to YouTube, catch us over there, and enjoy the episode. All right, we are locked in, live in action at the Sienna Court. How you doing today, Major?
I'm good, how you?
Chilling, bro. Just got done giving you work in 500 and rooted to it. You came late, but you got work too. The jumper was feeling good, or what's going on?
A little smooth.
Smooth?
Some light. Just, what, 3-1?
Yeah, I ain't getting a dub today. I came in, even though I came in late, I'll use that as my excuse.
Nah, but I want to start, like, so I'm from Albany, you going here now, and I want to talk about it all. Like, I feel like around Albany, you hear about Albany, it's a party school, and you hear like how live it is, but you don't really hear about Sienna because it's like in the cuz, kind of in the suburbs. So just talk about like coming, how you like living in Albany, like is it live? You like the female scene? What talk to you?
I mean, it's a little live, yeah. But I mean, here at Sienna, it's quiet. You know, it's a small school, so we're not really outside for real. But I like it a lot, I mess with it, for sure.
I was gonna say, it's kind of outside of like the KJ's question, but this is like a nice ass like practice gym, bro.
Yeah.
So like, I'm guessing you spend most of your time in here just getting up shots and stuff like
sure.
that.
Yeah, for sure. Late nights, early mornings, after practice, before practice, it's the spot.
Do you got a teammate that like you usually work out with, or you just come in here dolo and get on the gun?
Gavin Doty in here a lot, Marcus Jackson in here a lot, but usually just me, the gun, or some managers, just get into it.
Word. I know that you and Marcus, like y'all close, he was telling me, so. Like, did that just, like, kick instantly or something happened? Like, how'd y'all get there?
Over the summer, we just came close. Me and him pretty much got, like, the same mindset. Like, we just gonna do whatever it takes to win. And I like that a lot, bro.
Nah, yeah, Mark a dog, bro. Even since, like, Albany Academy day, you knew Marcus was a workhorse. But I want to bring it back. Like, you're from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna lie, I've been to Atlanta a few times. And that joint is live, bro. Like, the soul food everywhere you want, the black culture, and then like I went to Hawks games and Trae Young had a jump. I'm sorry, but it was against the Knicks, he had a jump. So just talk about, you know, like growing up, how that was in Atlanta, and then, you know, your opinions on the hoop scene, because it's like Sharif Cooper, Anthony Edwards, like there's really some hoopers from ATL, so just talk about that.
Growing up in Atlanta, it's Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? My mom, she did a great job raising 3 boys by herself. Salute to her. But as far as the hoop scene, I mean, like you said, Ant Edwards, we got Sharif, Jaylen Brown. I mean, you can keep going, name anybody for real. But this is just dogs day in and day in. Damn, day in and day night. Day and night. But nah, especially like, that's just where you want to be if you want to play high level basketball, like Georgia. I mean, Atlanta alone, you're going to play some guys every night.
I read online that you played for the Georgia Stars, like AAU team, and they had like some like NBA alumni in there, like Malik Beasley, if I'm not mistaken, played there. I think Brandon Boston too played for Georgia Stars, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he did a little bit.
But just talk about like playing AAU in Atlanta and in overall Georgia, and what you know who you played against. If you have any stories too.
I mean AAU with the Stars. I mean UIBL, they playing everybody. Everybody hear about the Stars in Atlanta, but crazy story. I mean, I wasn't playing, but we was courtside watching. Scoot Henderson came down, in and out, palmed up. Like, he didn't touch the ball with his left hand to shoot it. In and out, palmed it, pulled up, cash. Like, it was crazy. I mean, that's Atlanta.
Nah, yeah.
Like, you playing dogs.
So, like, I'm kind of curious, when you were, you know, younger in high school, and you going or you seeing these guys, you're playing against them, was your mindset like, I can see the difference? Or like, you were thinking like, nah, I'm one of them, like, talk about that.
Yeah, early, like, coming out of 8th grade, going into high school, I mean, there's a big difference. They're 5 stars, I'm just in 8th grade. But I mean, as the years progressed, me putting in work, me seeing my progression, I feel like I was one of them eventually.
You played a bunch of different sports, like, growing up in Atlanta, so I'm wondering, like, Tell the viewers a little bit about the sports that you did play and why eventually was basketball like your calling card? Like, why did you love basketball?
Yeah. I mean, when I was super young, my mom had us doing everything just to stay active, keep us out of trouble. But I played baseball, football, and basketball. I mean, baseball, I just wasn't great at hitting the ball, for real. But, yeah, I was swinging at everything. Football, like, my transition from eighth grade to high school, like, I transferred from my middle school to, like, a different high school in the area. So it's like they had their set guys. It was big politics. I mean, Georgia's a big football state, too.
OD.
So then I just always trained, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm just dribbling around the neighborhood with a basketball with no hoop. Like, and I just knew it was just going to stick with me.
No. About the baseball thing, like, so I was fast back in the day, and that made me nice at baseball. I used to be stealing all over people, and then it was a certain age. I remember the game, too. I was like 0 for 4 or 4 strike. I was like, I'm not doing this no more.
I swing at everything.
Because, like, once, like, you know, the speed goes away, and then actually, like, you got to be able to hit a 90 mile per hour. Fastball, like, it wasn't for me. I had to stick to the basketball, too. But I want to talk about, like, you going to JUCO, but first I want to hear, like, you're big in content creation. I noticed on your IG, like, you got a lot of reels, and I'm seeing, like, big numbers on some of them.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we're producing content as well. I want to hear how you got into that field, and then, like, when you started to see it start growing, or if there was a specific video, like, oh, shit, my shit just blew up.
It was in high school. At first I was like, bro, this corny. I'm not going to do this, you know what I'm saying? But then over COVID, I just got super bored. Like, I go work out, hoop or whatever, and I'm in the house for the rest of the day. So, you know, I'm just going on TikTok, laughing all day. I'm like, shoot, might as well. So I had like 200 something K on TikTok. I can't remember what happened, but my account got banned. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I'm gonna just make content on what I do every day. And people started messing with it. Like you said, big numbers. So I've been sticking with it ever since.
Do you have any other, like, favorite content creators? Like, oh, like, I like what they do, or I like what kind of content they push out?
Yeah, my dog YPK Ray, he's funny.
He just be like, what type of content he puts out?
It's all basketball related, but it's like, he just do a whole bunch of stuff. It's just a different. Quincy, he's at OTE. Mm-hmm. He's with their creative team, but same thing with him, the same thing with basketball. But it's funny and it's entertaining.
I ain't gonna cut you off, bro, but like, have you seen, like, a lot of doors open up for you because you're, like, more into content creation, or because, like, you're putting yourself out there like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the average basketball player, they're looked at as, like, being rude because they're, like, I mean, like, I used to walk in doors and they'll just be like, I mean, I don't want to talk to you because you look rude. Like, you play basketball, everybody know you just look rude.
Yeah.
I mean, creating content is just, like, me engaging with the world. Mm-hmm. So it opened a lot of doors.
I always wonder this about certain fields, like, there's a podcasting field, there's a basketball field, there's filming, but, like, content creation, is it more like a competitive field, or is it, like, collaborative? Like, when you see somebody making, like, similar reels, are you like, nah, I'm trying to, like, nah, my shit's way better, or are you like, nah, that's tough, you producing this shit?
It's a little bit of both, because I mean, like, when I first started, I see a video and it'd be like, you got 1 million views, or I feel like I can do it better. So, like, there's some videos on my page that it's stolen. Like, somebody do something like, I can do it better than mine. End up doing better than theirs.
So, I mean, you went to Archer High School,
and
you was a 4-year starter, if I'm not mistaken, at Archer. And, you know, Atlanta hoop scene, like we just talked about, is dogs every night. And I want to hear about your recruitment process coming out of high school and why ultimately you committed JUCO. Like, because, you know, a lot of people think, like, JUCO basketball is, like, I don't even know how to describe it, but people just, like, they put D3, D2, D1 here, and then, like, JUCO here. So, like, I just want to hear your mindset come in there, and then, like, the recruitment process in general.
Like you were saying, like, they put JUCO at the bottom. It used to be, like, a stereotype where you send JUCO guys, they may be Power 5 potential. But, I mean, you send them JUCO because of their grades or their attitude, or, you know, their hair just not screwed on. But it's definitely changed, like, for myself. I went, did what I was supposed to do, and I talked to over 40 schools in the portal. But coming out of high school, COVID, I was talking to a couple D1s, but then COVID hit, everybody pretty much got their roster back. So taking a guy to high school versus a recruit or somebody you had last year, I mean, I don't blame him, but for sure.
Nah, it's crazy, bro. COVID, I feel like COVID fucked up a lot of recruitment for, like, a lot of different guys, bro. High school, JUCO, you know what I'm saying? Like, it made the transfer portal probably what it is today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you ended up, you know, making that situation the best, because look where you are now. You're at Siena College.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You're a great coach, great programs.
For sure. I mean, JUCO, you can't overlook those guys, because everybody competing for the same
100%.
Thing. Like, everybody wants to go to a higher level, so they're giving you 110% on defense. They're going at you every possession. It's definitely tough.
I mean, like, you know, the narrative is changing, bro. I mean, look at Dalton Connect. Like, he played JUCO, and now he's balling for the Lakers this year. He might win Rookie of the Year since Jeremy King got hurt, right? So that's a JUCO guy. So it's, you know, the narrative is changing every year. And some I'm curious about, like, I've had teammates who have played, like, JUCO basketball. So I'm, you know, I want to hear your take on this. Like, what type of player slash, like, person do you think you need to be in order to, like, be successful, like, at the JUCO level?
That's a great question. I mean, just go in there and do your work. Mm-hmm. Just do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Keep your grades good. But just mainly in here. Mm-hmm. Like, don't come in here being a dumbass, a jackass, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's guys in there that say some crazy things. Do some crazy things. Guys show up late to practice. 2 minutes before practice.
So that last chance you, they wasn't, yeah, wasn't scripting that.
That's the real stuff. Like it's, you got to be a dog. And, the coaches on that level going to push you to be that.
Yeah. So, like, one thing I always thought about JUCO, I haven't seen, like, the best JUCO teams, but I always thought, like, and this makes sense. Like, I'm not trying to hate on JUCO basketball, but I feel like when you get to, like, a four-year school, like, it's kind of more organized. I don't know if that sounds weird or, like, rude or anything, but I feel like just because, like, if you're in a program for 4 years versus 1 to 2, like, obviously you're going to buy in a little bit more chemistry, get used to that. But what is your opinion on, like, that aspect of people saying JUCO is just, like, fast break, go back and forth, like, not really playing no defense? Just talk about that.
Yeah, it really depends on where you're at. Like, my JUCO, we can compete with any JUCO in the country. We played D2s, we beat D2s, we beat D3s. So I just say it depends on where you're at. There's a lot of schools, like you said, that just throw the ball out. You go try to get yours. But, I say it depends on where you're at.
I mean, you probably see that the teams that, like, actually play together and, like, have, like, a culture are probably, like, sending their guys to, like, good schools.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? I just heard so much about JUCO guys. Like, my boy Rob Brown, he's KJ knows him, too. He's from Albany area.
He played with Mark in high school.
At Albany Academy, right? Yeah. So Rob, he committed to Niagara, and, like, he was, like, a top recruit, like, out of high school in New England. He went to Niagara, like, didn't really play much. He went JUCO for, like, 2 years after that. And I talked to him after he committed to Nicholls State, which is, like, a school down to Division I down in, like, Louisiana, I think. But he was, like, after he finished his JUCO days, he was like, bro, I respect any player that went to JUCO because, like, they got it out the mud. And, like, there's some shit that, you know, I've seen that I, you know, will never forget, you know, like, a lot of crazy memories that players did or plays made, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, I went JUCO, so I'm going to be biased when I say the same thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you go JUCO, and you'll see some crazy stuff, and you'll be like, bro, you don't want to make it out doing that.
I believe
you.
You
know what I'm saying? But it's wild.
Nah.
Okay, you really got to, like, be in there on a mission and really, like, be on it.
I mean, your goal has to be probably to make it out of there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? You got to, it's only 2 year tracks for most of those schools, right? Yeah, so you literally have to make it out.
That brings up an interesting point because when you just mentioned that, ultimately you try and get out of there to improve your stock. So when you're at JUCO, I mean, your team's won 20 plus games back to back years at JUCO. You were scoring, I think you averaged 15 in your second year, but was it, like, in your head, were you like, I'm chasing stats, or are you chasing wins at that point?
My role was to be, like, a big leader, and with that, I would have to score the ball. But I wasn't really chasing stats. It was just me being myself. My coach came in, he instilled a lot of confidence in us and myself, obviously. But I wasn't stats. It was mainly wins. But for us to win, I had to produce what I produced.
Man.
Moving on from the JUCO talk, like, you said you had 40 plus schools reaching out to you.
Yep.
In the transfer portal after your 2 years at the JUCO level. So just talk to me about your experience in the transfer portal, like what you were looking for, and ultimately, like, why Sienna and Coach McNamara stood out.
Yeah, and while I was in the portal, I was just looking for an opportunity to make an impact right away.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Like, I get calls like three, four times, like back to back to back. And one night, I remember one time me and my teammate was playing a game. We on the game, hooping over whatever. I paused the game like 12 times in one quarter. Like, different coaches.
Yeah.
It's like a different coach in one night, all within an hour. And it's like, I mean, it's a blessing for that. But that was crazy. But Sienna, it just made sense. Like, it was a new slate, new coaching staff. They're all high level. We have high level guys. It just made sense for me.
If you could say the teams, were there any other schools that you was like looking at that you were like, this could be a possibility?
Yeah, I'm gonna just say one. Yeah. But it was Long Island. Rod Strickland, Kyrie was my favorite player, and he had a great plan for me. Their staff had a great plan for me.
That's what's up.
No, it's tough. I mean, we got a lot more to talk about Siena basketball, playing under Coach McNamara, and the future for Major, so stay with us while we take a quick break. All right, we're back. Before the break, we was briefly mentioned Coach McNamara, and that's a Cuse legend, bro. Like, yeah. I bet I'm an Cuse fan since I was born, just from like my dad being a fan, but he's like top three in points and assists, first in field goals made. They retired his jersey, I think, either last year or the year before. He won the Natty as a freshman. That's OD.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, shout out Melo. But, and, you know, this is his first year at Siena, so just talk about, like, what it's like playing under him, the experience, and if that had any – because he's coached, like, some pretty known NBA players. Like, Deion Waiters was coaching him, developing him. So just talk about, like, how that influenced your decision and what it's like playing under him right now.
Like you said, a Cuse legend, Syracuse legend. But I say it's something you can't take for granted, especially with the knowledge, you know, as the players that he produced, what he did himself as a player, something you definitely wouldn't want to take for granted.
What have you seen from him as a coach that's kind of like separating him from like other coaches that you had in the past?
Just him, like, you'll hear like a lot of other Division I schools, like their head coaches are really around. He's around every day, like trying to teach every day, trying to push everybody to be their best every day.
No, that's something we know, like, when you're trying to build a culture and, like, a dominant program, not even dominant, but, like, a maintaining winning culture, you got to do those little things, like, just be around the guys. It helps them build trust in you, and that's going to improve their performance.
It'll be the littlest thing, like, we'll be off to the side while the other teams are playing or whatever, practicing or whatever, and he'll just be trying to, like, teach whatever it is just to make you better as a person, no matter how little it is.
I'm kind of curious, just, like, him as a person. He spent a lot of time, like, as the assistant coach of Syracuse, and I'm sure, like, he's grateful for that, like, opportunity to, like, coach at his alma mater and stuff. But you feel like now, like, he's a head coach, like, he kind of got, like, a chip on his shoulder, like, he wanted to, like, be everyone or just, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like everybody at Siena has a chip on their shoulder just because of, like, the years in the past program or the programs in the last couple of years. But definitely, he just wants to win. He wants to compete. He wants to win everything.
I mean, that makes sense, bro. I remember when I found out that he got the job here, and I was hype. I was like, damn, like, he's high major coach coming to Siena. I'm like, he's going to change that program instantly. Already been doing well.
For sure.
Yo, one thing I wanted to talk about, what happened in the Albany Cup, bro, because that's like that's a big deal. And I thought y'all was going to – I felt like y'all was the better team. And
yeah, for sure. Albany's a good team. They're hard to beat at home. Down the stretch, we just didn't execute. We didn't hit big shots, and they executed on everything we didn't.
There was mad people there or no?
It was loud in there, for sure.
No, that was tough. Talking more about Mac play, though. So there's, like, a lot of guards in the Mac that are having really good seasons. I was looking at the, like, the statistics leaders, and, like, the top 10, there's 8 guards. So there's they're having really good years, like Bud Clark at Merrimack, DeJore at Iona, and obviously, like, you're having a good year too. So what's your mindset or, like, message going into, you know, those big games for yourself? Like, how are you judging yourself against those type of players?
From a competitive standpoint, I just want to win everything. So just give it all I can to win my matchup for my team.
I want to go back a little bit, but, like, what was, like, when you first got to Siena right in the summer, right, and, like, Coach McNamara, his first time here, like, basically pretty much a whole new team. Yeah. Like, how did you set the tone? Like, how did you, like, yo, I'm coming to hoop, like, I'm coming to win? Like, how did you express that on the court?
Just being an everyday guy, being the most vocal, being the first in every drill, just trying to lead by example.
So this is, like, a sideways question. We can go back to basketball if you think of anything, but – like, I know you're big into fashion.
Yeah.
So, one, I want you to talk about some of, like, any big purchases you might have had, or just, like, what you're into right now.
I'm not crazy being into fashion, but I'm looking at getting there. But most recently, I just bought a whole bunch of Goyard. So I got a double bag. I got this right here.
Yeah, I was peeping at the hotel.
I got a toiletry bag, a wallet, and yeah, that's about it. That's most recently the biggest purchase.
Where that hat from?
Supreme.
So are you into like the streetwear brands like Supreme, Kith, and stuff like that? Because I love Kith. That's one of my favorite brands.
Yeah, I might gotta hop on that. But but yeah, it's Supreme. I got a lot of essential. Denim tears, yeah, that's for sure.
You feel like you got the best drip on Sienna? Or who's like some of the guys that
I yeah, low key, I say Mark just because his like so unique. Mm-hmm. Like, you just be like, that's low key hard, okay, yeah. You feel me?
Yeah.
Luke Checky, one of the walk ons, he come in with a
walk on, that's tough.
Yeah, he come in like he ready to go to work every day, but it's like he come in 8 a.m. on a Sunday like that. Like, that's tough, that's just his style. I give it to those two, for sure.
So, you know, one thing, this might be one of the last questions before we get into rapid fire, but you got one more year of eligibility. You're having a great year, averaging 15 points, shooting 36% from three, heading into, you know, the bulk of MAC play. So what are your future goals within college basketball? Like, do you plan on staying here again? And then also, like, what's your ultimate goal with this basketball thing?
I'm gonna start with small season goals. Individually, I want to win newcomer of the year, first team. As a team, I want to win the MAC Chip for sure. I think it's very capable, especially with our group and how we've been progressing. Staying at Sienna, I mean, there's no telling what the future holds. I mean, Godspeed.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I want to be a pro. Whether it's the league, overseas, I want to make money playing basketball.
What's up, bro? Godspeed, like you said. And I want to ask this before we get into rapid fire. Like, we talk to a lot of different athletes, coaches, and a lot of them say, like, why they're, let's say if it's a coach, right, like, why their program is so good is because they have a why, like, they have a reason to play. So I'm wondering, like, I don't know you like that, so I'm wondering, sure. Like, what's your why? Like, why do you play basketball? Like, what makes you, what motivates you every day to be the best player you can be?
My family, all the way, starting with my mom all the way down to my youngest cousin. Mm-hmm. Like, actually starting with my grandma, going all the way down to my youngest cousin.
Shout out to grandma again.
Yeah, I mean, my grandma, she be at the crib watching the games on the TV. Mom texts me before every game, after every game. My brother supporting me, OD. My cousins, they're all tuned in, like, just ready to see me play again. But yeah, my mom and my grandma, those two are the biggest ones. Like, they showed me at a young age, like, like, no matter what it is, they don't get the job done. Mm-hmm. Like, and I shout out to, like, salute to those two for, like, being as successful as they've been, like, and just being that role model and, like, just leading. That's big.
No, yeah. I definitely respect, shout out to my mom, Diggs, too, because I could say the same thing. Like, no matter what, how much money we had, how much food was in the fridge, like, it was going to get done, whatever me and bro needed, so.
It didn't matter what it was. Like, like, when I was younger, we used to go back home, they used to be like, my mom's name LaToya. Like, LaToya, she always got her kids with a fresh haircut, new shoes, new clothes. Like, no matter what it took, she was going to get it done, her and my grandma.
But this might be, like, crazy to say, but it's something about black women, bro. Like,
sure.
Like, they really wanted, because, you know, I'm not speaking for your mom, but she might have had a tough childhood, too, and just realized, like, nah, I'm not going to put my kids through that. Yeah. Like, I want to see better for them.
Yeah, her. What she says a lot is, I want you guys to live better than what I do. I want you guys to have what I do.
Yeah, that's the role of the parent, for real.
And now you're playing D1 ball, bro, and, you know, all your little cousins or family members that are younger than you are looking up to you and seeing that as possible, bro. So that's a lot of respect for you, too.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. We keep baiting and saying this is going to be the last question, but I have one more. So, like, against Brown, I kept seeing that you went to, like, the Barkley post. You know what that is? Like, when you're breaking somebody down, then you could, like, get into the post with it. So, like, one, I'm curious about that move, if that's, like, a go-to for you. But second is, like, how are you going through workouts? Like, are you working on a little bit of everything? Are you trying to focus on one specific move a day? Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that whole process.
With our individual guard workouts, we work on, like, stuff for the upcoming game. But when I'm in here by myself, it's a lot of shots. Like the Barkley, just getting to my spots, you know, hella reps in. But the Barkley move, I think I learned that when I was a freshman and then started using it, like, a lot my sophomore year. Like, with the ball being in my hand so much, heat map to make decisions. I go baseline or I'll drive the slot. If I don't got nothing, just turn around, hop in a Barkley, just look at the floor. I might have a shot, might have somebody cut, might have a skip. It's real useful, especially at the guard spot.
I was just about to say, because like, when you're a guard, I'm a guard. I've never practiced post defense. Yeah. It's like, it's something you're never used to. So like, when you got someone that might be a little smaller than you and you're comfortable in there and they're freaking out, like, I don't know how to do this. So you definitely can see it. And also with your, like, when you got a guy in your back, you can see the whole floor around you. So it's like, I know I can get to this like shimmy shot, but I can see everybody else around me. So it just opens so many things. But
for sure,
I mean, we got this episode with Lil Rapid Fire and Starting Five Edition. So let us know when you're ready for Rapid Fire.
Let's do it.
All right, first Rapid Fire question. So you said you're a big Kyrie Irving fan. So I want to hear top three like favorite Kyrie Irving moments.
The lefty floater. I think he had a game winner over PJ Tucker.
That's not, yep.
And then Luka threw him a lob.
He was hype for that.
Kyrie Irving dunking, usually, you feel me? Amazing. But Kyrie Irving dunking is OD.
Wait, but so no Warrior, like when he's giving Warriors work, none of that is in there?
Nah, they're my top three for sure. But yeah, that's a whole nother, you feel me? My brothers, they love Stephen Curry, so.
So it was them, beef, yeah, that week.
That was big. By the way, he was Ryan Curry.
Nah, he was. He won that matchup that year.
Yeah, for sure.
So who we think got the best handle out of Curry and Kyrie? Because I heard that you think it's Kyrie easy?
Kyrie, for sure.
I forgot who it was. It might have been Jamal Crawford. It was somebody that, like, is nice with the ball. But they were saying, like, they might give the edge to Curry because, like, nobody can do how Curry gets into his shot. Like, his movement and stuff like that, it's impossible to even, like, rep out.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I mean, that's OD. He can damn near do anything and just get into a smooth shot. You know what's going on. But Kyrie Irving, what he doing is just
OD. He got on the string. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, just with Curry, though, like, I feel like what makes his handle so good is, like, he has the chance to shoot at all times.
Yeah.
So it's like he's making the defender, like, jumpy at every move. You know what I'm saying? He definitely got out on a string, but Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie, he might just come up with something and then it'd be legal.
Yeah.
Next rapid fire question. So ATL, right?
Yeah.
ATL, big rap scene. Who are some of your favorite rap, like, rappers from ATL that you listen to?
Lil Baby, Gunna, and Huncha.
Okay. That's good three. What you, about? You listen to all of them.
Yeah, I don't listen to Huncho like that. I'm starting to get into him like more a little bit, but I fuck with Future. Like Future and Gunna are on my top five.
Future up there for sure. He's definitely top five.
Nah, for sure. And then I got two more rapid fire spots, or rapid fire questions rather. But the first one is, if let's say I'm going to Atlanta, you gotta tell me like two spots I gotta go to eat. Number one, and the second rapid fire question would be, your favorite, your go-to spot out here in Albany since you moved here?
Okay. Go-to out here gotta be low-key Paisans.
Okay.
A piece of OD.
No, I've never been there.
It's like a piece of spot up through the road.
Might have to tap in.
Might have to tap in.
Yeah. They just made a G-Mac pizza. So it's OD.
That's tough.
And I mean, I love wings, so they got wings up there too, but the G-Mac one.
Yo, this is a side question. Needs to be addressed. Pineapple on pizza or no?
No, never.
I'm jacking it.
Never.
You tried it before?
Nah, yeah, for sure.
You always, okay. All right.
It's not bad, but it's like it's a pineapple, bro.
It's valid.
Like, I don't know.
Next time you go into Paisano's, like, you order get you a pineapple pizza.
Nah, but in the A, a lot of people don't know what American Deli is. Okay. It's a wing spot. Gotta go 10 piece.
Wait, was that the spot that it was saying Lou Will got caught at?
Nah, I think he got caught in like Magic City or something like that, like one of the strip clubs in Atlanta.
But nah, American Deli for sure.
Word?
American Deli?
10-piece combo, lemon, pepper, or honey hot.
That's tough.
Yeah, you gotta mix all three of the drinks.
What drinks?
It's a red drink, a yellow drink, and a peach drink. You gotta mix all three.
Heard you. So American Deli, and then Paisano's, two on my bucket list now.
You got another spot or not?
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, Steakhouse.
Ruth's Chris for sure, yeah.
You tapped into the soul food out there? Because I forgot what it was called, but there was some crazy spot that I went to.
I don't even know what they are called, but I
yeah.
It's OD.
But we're going to end with starting five edition. So if you're a coach, assembling a lineup, 1 through 5, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best players you've ever played with. So it could be from, like, Georgia Stars, Archer High, all the way to now at Siena. So who's your lineup?
I'm gonna
just tell me a little about, like, why they were tough.
For sure. I'm going to go with me at the one. Cause yep. Jason Edwards at Vanderbilt. He's averaging about 20 a game in the SEC. That's tough.
Nah, that's tough.
I'm going to go CJ.
Huh? You got Patrick for the pod.
Yeah, for sure. CJ Hines at Alabama State, sniper at the 3. Big Ja at the 4. He was my big last year. And I'm going to go underrated. Devin Bradford, the freshman.
What's his game like?
He do everything. He can stretch it. He gonna put it on your head. He gonna protect the rim. Everything. Mm,
that is the future. Siena might be lit then.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tune in. For sure.
But that's gonna do it for another episode. Not even D2 with our guy Major Freeman. We appreciate you coming out and good luck the rest of the season,
sure,
my boy.
Appreciate you, bro.
Before we end this episode, get back to the only ND3 segment where we talk about a story, a moment in our college career that kind of resembles what it's like to be a D3 student athlete. You went first last time. I don't know if you want to do that again or if you want me to this time, but let me know.
I guess I can go first.
Let's hear it.
So this moment, I don't know if it's necessarily an only in D3 moment, but I thought it was a funny moment that happened during the game. So we were playing Hobart and, like, you know, it's intense game, whatever. Like, we were down to start. So, like, I'm, like, all the way locked in on the game, whatever, competing hard. And usually, like, when I get onto the court, I'm kind of showing myself here, but I don't tuck my jersey in all the way. Like, I, like, kind of, like, fold my jersey right above my shorts, so it looks like my jersey's tucked in. So once I get in the game, play for a little bit, I'll just, like, let it hang, because I don't like tucking my jersey. I don't think it's a good look at all, personally.
Yo, real quick, why are refs so, like, bent on tuck your jersey and
So this is the story, bro. It's kind of funny. So we're in the middle of the game, and let's say, like, 2 minutes goes by. 2 minutes goes by. We're taking the ball out of bounds, and I'm, like, you know, walking over. I'm gonna send you the huddle clip so you can put it over too.
Perfect.
So basically, I'm taking the ball out of bounds, and one of the refs goes, like, everybody took their jersey. Has everybody took their jersey in? It was, like, an older ref. So I'm like, yo, bro, like, why are we tucking our jerseys in? Like, this shit is whack. Like, I literally say, I'm like, yo, this shit is whack. Like, I'm not trying to tuck my jersey in. The Hobart bench says something to me. At first, I'm kind of got my guard up, because, you know what I mean, I don't know if they're talking crap or whatever, but, like, I kind of listen. He's like, yeah, it's bad drip, bro. I look over, I'm like, bro, horrible. And they all start laughing. The ref next to me, he's like, hey, man, we can't. Look, we get in trouble if we don't say nothing, so we got to. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys know this shit don't look good. Don't lie. And the ref starts laughing, take the ball out, and then we keep playing. So I thought it was kind of a dope moment where me and the whole bar bench and the ref was all kind of joking about how we had to tuck our jerseys in.
Nah, that's funny, bro. It's like, it's universal. I feel like a lot of people are starting to, like, just leave their jerseys untucked, and it makes sense. Like, in the pictures, you don't want to be posting on IG looking crazy with your jersey tucked in. So
hell no, bro.
Any refs listening, just know I'm not tucking my jersey in the rest of the
Yo,
year.
Bro. No, this happened the game before. I had just scored. It was an and one, and I was at the line. My jersey was untucked. I'm like, you know how you get to the line, you, like, line up, and, like, you know what I'm saying, you want to look at the rim or whatever. Like, as soon as I'm, like, starting to get my, like, routine going, the ref goes, wait, everybody took their jersey and everybody took. This is a whole different game. I'm like, yo, you messed up my flow right now. And I'm blaming it on the ref. That's why I missed the free throw after.
Nice. So the rhythm, bro. That's what I need at the free throw line. But I'm going to jump to mine. So I'm going to just go quick. Freshman year, I don't remember who we were playing, but it was an Empire 8 game. And I'm pretty sure. It might have been, like, Hartwick or Sage. So for people that don't know, that's, like, a 3-hour drive to Alfred, three and a half. So we're warming up, and it's, like, 15 minutes left on the clock. And, bro, there's no refs. So we're at, like, the coaches are talking to each other. And you can see they're kind of confused too, but everybody's still locked in, like, it's game day. And, like, the 15 minutes is gone. We go to our bench, and coach is like, yo, the refs aren't here. So we're like, bro, what? Like, so what we about to do? So we go in the locker room, the other team goes in their locker room, and we're just chatting for a little bit, and coach comes in like, so the rest were assigned to the wrong place. They're at Hartwick right now, or whatever the school was. They're at Hartwick right now, and we got to wait an hour and a half for the new set of refs to come ref the game. So, bro, it's like we're all just in the locker room on our phones doing nothing, probably getting tight and stuff for the next hour and a half. And then we ended up winning. So I don't know if Hartwick players thought it was like a bad luck for them. They just had a 3-hour road trip and they got to wait for the rest. But only D3 where the rest will be assigned to the wrong place. And then you got to start the game an hour and a half later. So that's our segment.
Tight, bro.
That's our segment of Only in D3. If you like that, definitely leave a like. And if you enjoyed this episode, go subscribe, go follow us at Not Even D2 on all platforms. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.